Our scripture reading this evening from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, the first 7 verses. About that time, Caesar Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the empire. This was the first census when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone had to travel to his own ancestral hometown to be accounted for. So Joseph went from the Galilean town of Nazareth up to Bethlehem in Judah, David's town, for the census. And as a descendant of David, he had to go there. He went with Mary, his fiancée, who was pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to a son, her firstborn. And she wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger, because there was no room in the hostel. Here ends our scripture reading. May it be that God's Spirit will be so much with us this evening that this message will reach our hearts. Brothers and sisters in Christ, an elderly lady was talking to her nephew, and this was just after Christmas. So apologetically she says, "I'm so sorry you don't like my Christmas gift, but I asked if you preferred a small check or a large check." With his head hung in disappointment, the nephew replies, "I know, Aunt, but I didn't think you were talking about ties." While the world was talking about earthly power and military might, it seemed just a little bit out of place to shift the focus to the little town of Bethlehem. Think for a minute about the world that Jesus entered 2,000 years ago. The Bible says, in the days of Caesar Augustus. What was the world like in the days of Caesar Augustus? Well, in the year 29 before Christ, the Romans declared peace in the world. Here's why. Octavius, the emperor, fought several wars and he won them all. So the Roman Senate celebrated the occasion. And it officially conferred upon Gaius Octavius the following title: Savior and God. He is declared to be Caesar Augustus, the ultimate ruler in the world. In fact, they went even further. The Senate ordered the building of a huge monument inscribed with this bold statement, Pax Romana, translated, the peace of Rome. Pax Augusta, the peace that Caesar Augustus brought us. So, in the time when Jesus was born, the peace of Caesar Augustus was declared. Now Luke begins the story about the birth of Jesus with the words, in the days of Caesar Augustus. The Roman world finally had peace from its many murderous wars. And thus the Roman world had everything it ever wanted and needed. So, in a time like that, at first glance, it sounds just a little out of place to proclaim that God simultaneously sent a different type of peace, very much at odds with the Pax Romana. The gospel writer Luke tells about angelic voices. and these voices were singing about peace. Oh yes, about peace. But a different, totally different type of peace that had nothing to do with the Pax Romana of those days. Now, Epictetus, that's a Greek Stoic philosopher who also lived in those days, in the days of Caesar Augustus, wrote as follows, and remember this was written more than 2,000 years ago. He wrote, while the emperor may enforce peace from war on land and sea, he is unable to give peace from passion, grief, and envy. Says Epictetus, he cannot give peace of heart, for which humanity yearns more than ever for outward peace. So in the days of Caesar Augustus, the Pax Romana, the Pax Augustus, ruled the nations. But there was one conquest that they never made. They couldn't conquer the human heart. So in the days of Caesar Augustus, uninvited, God's gift arrives. Pax Christi. Pax Christi. A peace that only Christ could give. While Augustus was ascending the most powerful throne on earth, a baby was born in Bethlehem. The Christmas story that we are retelling this evening in so many different ways. You know, to understand that better, I thought there's some place where we can hang our hat on, because we lived through those days. An example from our own history. Peace on earth. Whatever could that mean? Well, here's the example. In April of 1961, Martin Luther King Jr. was sitting in a jail cell in Birmingham, Alabama. He had been arrested for leading a demonstration. So while he was in jail, 20 Christian leaders in Birmingham, and they were all pastors and teachers and doctors, wrote him a letter. And they said in their letter, Martin, you are wrong. They warned him and they told him in the name of Christ to cease his demonstrations and to allow peace to return to their polite world. And it is said that Martin Luther King thought long and hard about that letter. Here were all these Christian colleagues begging him in the name of Christ to change his ways, to shut up, to give up his cause. So he wrote back a letter which has become a classic in the Christian church. It's called Letter from a Birmingham Jail. And in it, King says, you want me to be quiet and in that way to bring you peace? But in the Bible, friends, peace is not the absence of warfare. Peace is instead the presence of justice. Peace is the presence of justice. And exactly there's the contrast between the Pax Augusta and the Pax Christi. The peace of Caesar Augustus forced the nations to lay down their weapons. But the peace of Christ opened the hearts of the lost and the last. and the least and the lowest to a place in society that they could not otherwise find for themselves. Peace, even in our times, is not merely the absence of warfare. Any Caesar Augustus can do that. But the true peace is the presence of justice, where someone cares enough to make things right for all those who otherwise get overlooked, where folks like us, you and me, get a chance to look into our own hearts with a question, a sure, serious question that I want to pose this evening. Whether the Pax Christi, the peace that only Christ can bring, is alive in us. And if that is so, that Christ has been born in your life and in mine, then we can change the world, because God is on our side. Pax Christi in our life, in our thinking, in our doing, in our teaching. Thou shalt know him when he comes, not by any din of drums, nor by anything he wears, neither by his crown, nor by his gown, but his presence known shall be by the holy harmony which Christ's coming makes in thee. O God, let it be. May all of you have a wonderful, a special, and a unique Christian Christmas. Let us pray. For all these blessings of Immanuel, God with us, we praise and give glory to you as the graceful recipients, O God, of your grace and your truth. In and through Jesus Christ, you have not withheld your love from us, but have sent forth a light to shine in our earthly darkness. You have destined us in love to your Son, to your sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. And for this, O God, we now give you thanks and praise you. In the name of the child born long ago in the stable of Bethlehem. Amen.